Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Coming to you once again. Thought we had a little bit of a problem there for a second. Our little mixing box didn't come on like it's supposed to, but we're up and ready to go. Got Rhonda Elam here with me this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Tuckasee Archery Club, some of the things they've had going on. We've got our list of birthdays and anniversaries for the day. We've got some other, fairly important news to talk about, and so we'll be doing that here in a few minutes, but we appreciate everyone tuning in to us here this morning on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, as we do each Thursday morning here at 9 a.m. in the morning on this bright, sunshiny morning here this morning. No rain maybe again today.
We'll cross our fingers.
We've had enough of that for the last day or two. What, Rhonda, about 4 inches up in
Monroe County? Something like that. We talked about if we need to go and start building the ark, that would be the world, the thing to cap off 2020.
Float everything off.
Absolutely.
But it looks like it's going to be a nice, warm day here today. And we're getting into the days right now when summer's going to be all upon us. We end up into the 90s, but we hope you're sitting back with the air conditioner going and got your morning cup of coffee in one hand and maybe a sausage biscuit in the other one and going to enjoy yourself for a few minutes. I think, a lot of us are still staying close to home.
Mm-hmm.
We're not venturing too far, most of us. And of course, Kevin and I will be talking about the consequences of some of the things about venturing too far out here in the last half of the show again. But it's a pleasure having you here, and we'd like to thank all those folks that make this possible. That, we come through to you each Thursday morning here at 9 with our rebroadcast this evening at 6 through, the efforts of the Chamber of Commerce and also our three-star committee here. And we appreciate all the help, and we especially appreciate everyone that sponsors some airtime on here that makes all this possible. And with that, I guess I'll just take a little short break. We'll let them work in a few more commercials and, like I said, help pay for this thing. We'll come back and we'll get to talking to Ms. Rhonda Elam here in a few minutes about the Tuckasee thing. And we'll be back just in a minute.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go!
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. As I said, once again, it's a pleasure being here. You had one little special public service announcement that you wanted to make for
right. us. Right. As of next Tuesday, the Solana Road right outside Tompkinsville, the main thoroughfare between us and you all, is going to be closed for the new construction of the Tompkinsville Bypass. They do have a detour set up that will take you around the Cap Harlan Road, and they're actually opening up one section of that new road because they'll be taking out the Marshall Curve there south of town. So they said this is projected to last over a couple months, so it's going to be, you'll need to find a way around. The detour is there, but you may want to plan on using Clementsville or an alternate route to save you a little time.
Go over to Clementsville and come out by the old Mucky and just
go over by Eating Table and eat.
Yeah, and just enjoy the drive.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
You know, I think a lot of us have done that here. I know I'm sure a lot of folks in Monroe County have, and I have here in Clay County, lots of folks. We've gotten out and just driven around in our county again for a change and, you know, driven down on Dry Fork and things like that we hadn't done in years.
I think a lot of people's doing a lot. Like, I think you can't buy a garden tiller right now because everybody's got gardens out because they've been at home, and I think the painting and the yard work, I don't know how many times a week there for a while Mark was mowing the yard.
I think I talked to some of the guys over at the lumber company the other day, and they said that they couldn't get 4x4 treated and stuff now, and they can't get decking. There's a shortage of it right now.
Right.
So people are doing things they should have been doing just a little bit at
right.
the time.
Right, we were all too busy to do before.
Yeah, all too busy to do before. But good morning.
Good morning.
Have we ever done maybe a little biography of you and let you tell
us? Oh, my goodness, that'd be a little scary, I think. I'm originally from Tompkinsville. We have had our fingers in a lot of different things. I'm a retired school teacher. After that, we actually own an archery shop in Tompkinsville, and we have the newspaper along with a print shop and screen print shop. So we've kind of dilly-dallied in everything. But about 20 years ago, we started shooting competitively and have traveled all over the United States shooting. In about, it was 2016, we had one kid from Solana that really wanted to learn to shoot, and I had three kids of my own, so we started Tuckasee with six kids, four of them being mine. And
were the other two Adams?
Those two were Adamses, and we started, and we grew into, I think at our largest, we've had 70 on the roster. This past year, we've had 54 on our competition roster for 2020. So coming off of a national title last year, if we hadn't been shut down, I'm pretty sure we would have had a national title again this year. But we all got shut down in March with everybody else, and just now starting to get kicked back up. We've had a state tournament for one of our organizations, and we actually shoot for four different organizations, so we provide all the opportunities we can. We had a national shoot this last week, and every kid that we took placed in the top of their class, and we had two national podiums And those kids were actually competing in adult classes and beating out adults.
I saw those on the results. Okay, and another thing I've noticed that, what about the post-Tuckasee folks? We've had folks that have gone on out of the club.
We do. We have actually had some of our Tuckasee kids. My husband's in the last 2 years has taken over the head coaching job at a college in Columbia, Lindsey Wilson College. So we've actually
good school.
We've actually have a college team there. So we joke that we're kind of the farm league. The Tennessee talent is out of this world coming out across the state. So we've been trying to funnel a lot of those kids. And as of this last year as well, so far we've had 100% of our kids that have come out of our club that if they wanted an archery scholarship, it was available for them.
Hey, that is great. And
I don't think many other sports can go 100%.
You know, and there's so many folks that look around and they look and see, and, you know, they want their child to be that great football player, that great basketball player. But these minor sports also, I mean, that also pays for education.
Right. I had a girl the other day that her parents will not pay a penny for tuition or books because it's all taken care of through scholarships. Ball sports are great. But you have that niche of kids. We do have a lot of ball sports kids that compete with us. But we have a lot of those kids that haven't found their niche and this is their thing. But what we pride ourselves on is, you know, you don't put those pads back on after you graduate high school except for very few select people. This is some that we have guys that are, well, there was one guy that's in the super senior class that's 86 years old. So you can keep doing this from as young as you want to as old as you want to, and it's a lifelong sport.
Well, have you ever thought maybe about a wheelchair league?
We actually have a kid that is in a wheelchair that won the crossbow class last year.
Right. You know, and that is something it takes lots of practice, and it's a different kind of training. I know that, and it's a different kind of muscle reaction, eyesight, all those type things. But it's also something that does require quite a bit of skill, but it doesn't require all of that physical training.
It's mental. We all joke that archery, once you learn your basic form, archery is 99% mental. And 1% form.
Well.
But what we like about it is very inclusive. We have kids that have mental or social disabilities, and we have kids that are physically. I actually have one girl on my college team that only has one arm. And when she first started, she shot with her teeth. And we went to Florida and had her a harness made, so she's actually shooting with a harness. And she will be on the Paralympic archery team to go to the Olympics in 2024 in France.
You know, that's something I always said when I was coaching. The most important part of any athlete is from the shoulders up.
Absolutely. It's all the mental game. And the discipline and building the confidence. I mean, you may win the world championship 1 week, and the next week you won't be able to hit the barn. It's putting your mind back together.
Okay, and I know some of the success. Well, let's talk a little bit about the COVID thing. What effect that's had on
well,
you guys?
Well, it's had quite a bit of effect. Of course, we were sitting in March, usually from the second week of November till the second week of August. We have 3 or 4 weeks off from the different organizations that we shoot. This shut us down cold. Our kids lost out on their national indoor tournament, and even our national organizations. We had 28 plane tickets to go to Chula Vista, California for our college team, and it was all shut down. So we've just now started opening back up. We had our state tournament in Tennessee for one organization about, I guess it's 2 weeks ago, and we had our first national tournament for, because there's a league that's like kids and adults, and so there's usually 2,000 people that go to London, Kentucky. And so they had a proposal on the governor's desk, and they let us have that tournament. There was quite a few changes with it, but we took several kids in there, and they cleaned house again. We're pretty competitive. Our kids are pretty awesome.
And I know if you've never seen one of the meets, I know the one up here at the park, it's pretty well social distances itself, doesn't it, by the actual layout of it.
You come in and sign in, and then they put you in groups of 3 or 4 people. And then you spend the day walking through the woods with them and shooting and just getting to know. We joke that it's a family reunion because we see these people a lot of times more than we see our own family, and we like them a whole lot more than we like some of our family. But it's a time that whenever you have a kid that has a trouble and you're not there with them on the range and some other daddy from Tullahoma takes them and gets their bow fixed, you don't have to worry about your kids.
You know, I saw something the other day where we had someone that was competing in, it might have been some type of motorcycle type thing, and he was just one of the youngsters here in the county that wasn't one of the big professional type guys,
yeah.
And he had a little part that went out on his motorcycle, and he was really doing good in the competition. Well, the other members there wouldn't loan him that piece.
Oh, that's...
I mean, I said,
that's,
you know,
not
that, that's not what you... I mean...
No. I've actually had, personally, I had a string that started breaking on me one time in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and the girl that was with me on the same stake shot the same draw length as I did, and she turned around, she'd shoot her arrow and hand me her bow, and I'd shoot my arrow, and I ended up in place higher than her with her bow. But that's the way we are in archery. It's
well, you know, that you said, you know, it's not the equipment. Like you said, it's from the shoulders up.
Absolutely, a lot of times.
Once you realize that, hey, you know, if she can, you know, if I can help, you know, and she can beat me,
yeah,
I've got to get better so I can beat her next time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I'll tell you what, let's take a little short break. We'll come back just in a minute. Let's work in a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
All righty.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome everyone back. And I want to remind everyone that about halfway through the show here, we will be reading our names of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. We had quite a few anniversaries this week. And another, I guess, little thing I could announce here, we had our big marble tournament this weekend down at our little marble yard below in the fairgrounds. And Sailor Walden and Brian Plumley won that one this time over there. They made it down, and I think maybe they beat Kenzie and Andrew Walker in the final. So we had an all-Tennessee final then.
That's uncommon.
It is, because we had some of it had quite a few of the representatives from Monroe County.
Yeah.
But it's not hardly the same without Mr. Hale here.
Right.
Since Mr. Ernest Hale, he had a little problem with his back, and I think he's had a little problem with carpal tunnel or something now. He's getting antsy to get back into marble competition, so I have to throw his name out because I know sometimes he listens to us. But let's get back to archery a little bit. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking at this fall because out of our four shoots, we did have to cancel three of them. We were able to have one the first week of June, and I thought it was interesting. We've been doing some surveys, and we were asking. We had over 130 shooters, which put us at over 200 spectators through the 3 or 4 days, and we've been asking and doing a survey right now, and all of it's not in, but it looks like around those people spend, because I ask them how much they spend in Clay County when they come in for one of these tournaments. And it looks like it's going to be between $6,000 and $10,000 that one of those tournaments bring in, and just people go, everybody's got to go to eat while they're here, and then they go to the convenience or they get gas, and we have several that stay in the area. We actually had several we put to some rentals that came down from E-Town, so we're excited about what it does for the community, and community's been great to us as well. So we are actually looking about having a fall classic, a fall hunting classic, before your Tennessee Velvet season starts, because our national season has actually been kicked out as well, too. So we're planning on having a 3-D shoot and have a lot of turkey and deer and maybe a mountain lion or two, since, you know, y'all have them in Tennessee, but we don't in Kentucky.
I saw a picture on the other morning, went up at Signal Mountain, which is very close to here. Someone got a shot of a mountain lion.
And we got some bear. When we shoot 3-D, it is a life-size 3-D foam animals. And there are scoring rings on there. So you walk through, and how it works is you'll get to stake one, which is like a station, and the three of you will shoot one arrow into the scoring rings. And when you're done, you walk down, pull your arrow, and score your target. And so that's how the competition works, is who gets the most points.
Okay, and Ron, I'm not sure if you – I know you're aware of this, that the city of Salina is in the process of taking – over the park, and I know that's going to change some of the things that you guys are able to do.
Right. We have been extremely blessed with our partnership with the Corps of Engineers. They have been like bent over backwards to help us. We have talked back and forth with the city of Salina, and we're hoping those partnerships continue. Right now in the transition, we actually left our bags up because our kids were without a place to practice. So we were able to leave most of that stuff up for them to practice in this interim time. And we're hoping maybe as this partnership grows to be able to do something in a permanent nature that would be open for the general public and not just our kids, because we know in this area there are quite a few bow hunters and there are quite a few people that enjoy the sport of archery, so we would like to open it up for the whole community and give back.
Well, you know, you may have to do something, you know, kind of like if you've been up to Cades Cove on a Wednesday morning, they shut Cades Cove down up until 10 o'clock in the morning to let bicyclists only come through.
Right.
So they're made, you know, work out a process where you can have so many hours where that it would be open for archery to come in and use and not interfere with the folks that like to walk now.
Well, and that's what we looked about. It's in there right now. We've got it kind of set up. When we have a full tournament and we have to use more of those lanes, we do have to block off a few of those trails, but that only happens about every 2 months. But the way we've looked at it, we have come up with a plan to where they can work together and not have to shut one to do the other. The only problem we get into sometimes is people. I had some the other day. We were there practicing, and they crossed three safety barriers to get where they shouldn't have been. So we got to look about maybe some more permanent barriers or some more things that we can. I don't know how you're going to keep people from crawling across them anyway. We kind of have some ideas about how we can make it to where they don't interfere with each other. I just over and over I say how blessed this community is to have that park, because you don't understand if you're just from here. But we have shot all over the Southeast United States, and I will put that park and that facility against most anywhere that a national's even held, because it is, it's got everything you need. Great walking trails, good timber to shoot in, the bathroom facilities, the parking facilities. I mean, a lot of these shoots you go to, it's you and a porta potty. So to be able to have a great shelter, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of, that park, it, like we always, you know, it's kind of a hidden gem, but you know, the Corps hadn't been real big on advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And this park down here is kind of in a netherland.
It sure is.
A lot of folks don't realize that this park is part of the Cordell Hull Reservoir, not Dale Hollow, even though the Dale Hollow engineers have
overseen
the ones that overseen it. But it's actually part of Cordell Hull, and I don't know, it hadn't received a lot of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And promotion, and hopefully that's something that will change.
I would love to.
Well, I know it's going to change, because there are going to be promotions for it. I know there are some plans to more playground equipment up there, improving the tennis courts again, things like that, and you know, just lots of hopefully improvements going on in there.
Well, and we look, you know, there's quite a bit of land there that's not even utilized for much.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is just such a great place for several different activities, you know, and it's been, we've been extremely blessed to have been able to work with the groups to do that, and we hope to continue that partnership.
And you know, there's a place as you go down to the boat ramp on mm-hmm. the right going down that used
yes.
to be cleared out, that would be great for an archery range.
Mm-hmm.
That would be away from,
mm-hmm.
and you would actually be shooting away from basically anything
right.
that could be used
yeah.
just about any time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been great. We've actually been already collecting up some information about signage that some places that have open archery ranges use and that sort of thing, because we do have insurance through the national organizations that cover those sort of things. But we've been doing a whole lot of homework, because we've been kind of looking forward to this. So we're hoping to make it all happen for this community.
I think it's just...
It's right there.
Right there and ready to be signed on. Okay, now coming up, real quickly on that.
Okay, coming up, we actually have this next weekend. This weekend, of course, for the 4th, everybody's off pretty much. Next weekend, our kids will travel to Campbellsville to compete in the Kentucky State Championship for ASA. The following weekend is the Tennessee Championship down in Monteagle, Tennessee. So a lot of those will do both of those. The following weekend will be one of the national competitions up in London, Kentucky. And then from there, we'll go to Cullman, Alabama, and then Foley, Alabama. We were supposed to be going to Fort Benning, Georgia, but Fort Benning has shut us down. So the end of August, we'll be turning around and going to Fort Benning. Now, sometime in the middle of that, we don't know the date yet, our tournament that was supposed to be in March has been rescheduled for the first week of August. So those kids will have to come back in and warm back up on that discipline, because that's an indoor discipline. So our high school team was the favorite to win the national championship. I think if they shoot their game, they're a shoe-in, but definitely should have a national podium. So that'll be the first week of August, so we're excited about that.
Let me ask you about that. You said the high school. Do they have to represent a particular high school or be high school age?
Good idea. Well, good question. We actually moved this year to an age. It's an age system, but we're also a club. You could be a team, which has to be with a certain school, but we're actually a club, so we actually have kids from Winchester, Tennessee, Logan County, Kentucky, but then the majority of our kids are from Clay and Monroe,
right,
and a few from Macon.
So,
some out of Cookeville, a few out of Cookeville.
So you all are pretty...
We're pretty powerhouses. People
you're
know.
You're a hobgoblin, aren't you?
Whenever those orange and blue jerseys walk in, I always tell them, we always joke about that. Our kids don't call it Tennessee orange and Kentucky blue. It's Tuckasee orange and Tuckasee blue, because we all refuse to talk about the other one. I mean, when we did all those, that a lot of orange on our jerseys, what you don't realize is that's so I can pick my kids out no matter where they're out on that range. And people, when they see those jerseys, they know they're our kids, and they expect the best out of them, because that's what they're going to get.
Well, Rhonda,
We appreciate you having us down again.
Have you got any final notes to throw out?
Just watch the information. I'll get you some information as well to announce whenever we get time and get our date set. We're still going back and forth on that. Hopefully we have some big announcements coming soon with some other things we got going on. So we're pretty excited.
And that this door is always open.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us this morning. With that, I'm going to read the names here that are celebrating this week, and we'll let Rhonda get back up, go to work, I guess. Celebrating this week, we've had a bunch of anniversaries this week. Donna Green celebrated her birthday on July the 1st, and she and her husband Richard celebrated their 53rd anniversary on the same day. And also celebrating an anniversary on July the 1st were Lene and Justin Cunningham, celebrated their 9th anniversary on the 1st. And then Jackie and Susan Bray on the 30th celebrated their anniversary. And then Johnny and Vonda Gully celebrated the anniversary on the 29th. And then we had a couple of birthdays in here, Letitia Denton on July the 1st and Monica Hayes on the 28th. So we had quite a few people this week. I guess some of these folks were June bride, and some of them didn't hardly make it in June. But we appreciate everyone calling in. And remember, 243. What's that number again, Kevin, now? 243 what now?
5-5-6-2.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
But before we let Kevin get started, we will take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Thomas.
Well, how are we going to start this segment off?
Well, I think you guys were talking about sports in the first half, and I enjoyed what I was able to hear of that. Didn't get to hear all 30 minutes, but it was good. Thought we might continue that in just a minute, but I guess we're kind of in the habit now of looking at our census numbers and our team numbers. How about we do that first and then switch back over to sports?
Okay.
There's a topic that's been pretty hot out there, and maybe we can help shed a little light on that today. Looking at our COVID-19 update. Of course, no secret, if you go online or turn on your TV or your radio, you know cases continue to go up, and Clay County is officially, as of yesterday afternoon, of course, these are updated at 2 p.m. each day, officially up to 16 cases, and we, you know, we see numbers continuing to rise across the state. I'm not sure any of us really knows where all this is headed yet, and of course we'll have some more news related to that. Switching to something we usually talk about today too, an update, and hate to beat this horse completely to death, but we need to. Our self-response rates for the U.S. Census, and what I have noticed, Thomas, for over a two-week period, not only in Clay County, but virtually everywhere, the self-response rate has just, that effort has almost stopped, it seems like. I guess all the folks who are going to respond on their own have pretty much done that. We hope that's not the case because, you know, we've been around 47%, I'm certain, for about 2 weeks. But we're not out there by ourselves on an island. That's pretty much the case. Now, we're still about 12% behind our self-response rate of 10 years ago, 2010. But it looks like to me most of the state is going to be behind where they were a decade ago, which means these folks that are going door to door will have more work cut out for them than they did a decade ago. But again, go ahead, Tom.
Kenton, I think, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have all of this digital coverage that we have now. We didn't have the fiber to the home.
No.
And of course, probably most every home in this county has some type of digital device that they can get online and do this. You know, that's kind of, because you'd think maybe a lot of those were made by phone back 10 years ago.
Or simply mailing the paper back
right,
in.
Right.
And it's interesting to note, Thomas, of the people that have self-responded here in Clay County, a very low percentage of them are on the Internet. And it seems like most of the people I talked to, I went online and did that. But overall, the numbers are not indicating that. But I don't know, a little bit of a mystery to me. But again, just want to urge everybody who hasn't responded to do that. It is vitally important to Clay County that you do that, and we hope that you will. And if you know of someone, a friend or family member, or maybe somebody you go to church with that hasn't responded, urge them to do that and emphasize how important it is for funding for a county like ours in particular. It's important for every county. I guess it's just as important for a Davidson County or a Shelby County or whatever, but it's just doubly important for us in Clay County.
Absolutely. And I know yesterday at one of the governor's announcements that he made yesterday, I believe Clay County, that we're the only distressed county left here in this Upper Cumberland.
In the Upper Cumberland. That's the way I understand it now. Absolutely. And distress designation is something maybe we'll talk about on down the line. But I think that's correct. Since the new designation has come out, and I'm pretty sure they do that annually, we've seen about four or five counties come off the distressed county list in the state of Tennessee. And one of those is neighboring Jackson County. Kudos to them. We're happy for them.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's great to be on, but it ain't good to be on.
No. You do get breaks in terms of grant matches and various other things, but no, it would be far better for us to not be distressed. And of course, there's four designations, distressed, at risk, and a couple
right.
others too, but a big majority of the state, or a good number at any rate, does fall in at risk or distress. But down to, I believe, 11 counties now distressed in Tennessee, and it was 15 not that long ago, and we're obviously across the state making progress, and glad to hear that.
And of course, with this change, this is one of these times where I guess we need to be looking at get done as soon as we can and take advantage of this, because, you know, if we keep doing well like we have been doing, the next time, more than likely, we could come off of this.
Our grant matches will go up, but again, that'll be a good thing.
Yes, absolutely.
It'll mean that our...
It means we've got more money to match with.
Absolutely. It'll mean our jobless rate has improved, and compared to a lot of places in the state, we're good now, but what they do is go on a three-year average. So, you know, we've been in pretty tough situations over the past 3 years in terms of jobless rate. And then per capita income is another indicator, and poverty rate. Those are the three criteria that you use to determine whether you're distressed or at risk or some of the other designations that we have. That'll make a good whole show sometime, maybe.
Yes,
be good for us to go into that. Again, Thomas, you guys were talking about sports, and I enjoyed hearing that about archery. And, you know, one thing that you guys touched upon is there's a lot of scholarship money available in some of these, we might say, I don't want to call them secondary sports, but let's say the less glamorous sports. You know, you think, all right, okay, a football scholarship, basketball, softball, baseball, now volleyball too as well, but you know, there is a tremendous amount of scholarship money out there. I know, you know, I've played golf all my life, and I checked into that once upon a time, and not that far in the past, there were, for example, women's or ladies' golf scholarships that went unclaimed at schools. Oh, and that, you know, that's free money.
Right.
And archery obviously has a lot of money involved there. And there's some others. But, you know, you don't have to be a star in one of what we'd call our major sports to get scholarship money.
No, I mean, it's there and it's waiting. And if you go by and look, I guess there's a place online where you can actually go through and look at post-secondary athletics. And there'll be a listing there. And, you know, and a lot of times, like they were talking there today, like the smaller schools like Lindsey Wilson, these schools, Berea, some of those schools up in Kentucky, I know, and a lot of them here in Tennessee, the smaller schools that have these things. There's a school over in Dayton, Tennessee, the school over in Maryville, you know, that are great institutions, and they're expensive institutions.
And Swanee, University of the South, would fall in that category.
You know, we remember our little Chambers basketball player that went up there.
Absolutely. And was a superstar.
Was a superstar in that league and got a degree from Swanee. Swanee, Berea, and Vanderbilt are kind of on about the same level.
Upper crust. That's for sure. And something that does happen at a lot of your smaller private schools, in many instances, they may not have what you would call an athletic scholarship, but there's scholarship money there. And it may not cover everything, but it covers a big chunk of it. The situation at private schools is, in some instances, quite different to a state-sponsored university, shall we say. But there's a lot of money out there. I'd urge these kids, if you have an interest in one of these sports that are outside the main ones we usually think of, work at that, and you never know what might happen.
You know, I did hear with the golf thing, wasn't that at Cumberland with the young lady that strode? Young lady that
did very well.
Did very well and graduated down there and moved on. And I think maybe her brother is maybe on a golf scholarship also somewhere. So, I mean, these things are available to you.
Absolutely. A lot of things out there, for sure. Thomas, that was something I get.
How about the big news?
Well, yeah.
You want to do that or take a little break?
Well, we probably ought to take a break.
Okay.
We'll get wound up on this.
Yeah, we might even have to be shut down if we get started. We'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin's still with me. We were getting ready to start talking about, high school sports, weren't we, Kevin?
Well, you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, actually, after a meeting was over, and it's a pretty hot topic, you know, fall sports for TSSAA. Most notably, but we don't want to leave the other sports out, but high school football, which will obviously affect, you know, junior high sports and on down the line. I'm going to read a little bit from the Nashville Tennesseans website. They've done a pretty extensive story here. The gist of it in terms of football, I'm assuming this again goes on down to junior high and maybe some of the other youth leagues as well. Governor Bill Lee issued, what are we looking at now? Day before yesterday, executive order number 50. And number one wasn't that long ago, but the COVID crisis has created a lot of executive orders. It extended the state of emergency through August 29, and that also included what are called contact sports. I think now we'll talk about football more than anything. I believe we're, and you and I discussed this yesterday, and I'm not sure, I think we're in the dead period now where
right.
Basically they can't do anything. No conditioning, no weightlifting.
That ends Sunday, I
soon.
Believe.
It's always around the 1st of July.
Yeah.
I don't know how it falls this year. But the gist of it is, you know, there's been some concern, well, has football been canceled? No, it hasn't been. It won't start on time, but the TSSAA has come up with three options that include shortened seasons with state champions still being crowned. Pretty interesting. Bernard Childress, of course, is the TSSAA executive director, and he presented these options on Wednesday, that was yesterday, to the TSSAA Board of Control. Three pretty interesting alternatives here to what we're used to. The first Friday night of football was originally scheduled to begin August 21.
Obviously, that's not going to happen with the state of emergency extended through the 29th. But all under all these plans, and as you mentioned, there was a fourth which didn't get any traction. That was nothing, I believe, and that didn't get any traction at all. Football practice with contact could resume on August 30 if the emergency order is lifted, and they would schedule the first games to begin on September 18th. I think that's what they're looking at now. And the championships would still be intact that first week of December. Now, the options are pretty interesting. They did not make a decision. As I understand it, they're going to reconvene next Wednesday, July the 8th, and they hope to have this plan in place by the end of July. But the first interesting options.
I think the Tennessee Football Coaches Association have sent a memo out to all the coaches to, I think they did it before the Board of Control did this with what their plans were, and I think supposedly the board members are going to go back home and take a look at what the coaches themselves
have said. I guess this may be news for today in 24 hours, and we may have some more news, but the options are pretty interesting. The first option is a 7-game regular season with the playoffs being just like they are right now. 32 teams being in Division One playoff brackets, normal brackets for Division Two. TSSAA would set the region schedules. Here's the interesting part, though. The teams that did not make the playoffs could play two more games after the playoffs started.
Revenue.
So, yes, absolutely. And I don't know how the scheduling procedure would be, but that's interesting. Everybody would still wind up playing 9 games under that scenario. Well, the second option, it's adding regular season games, what it boils down to. It's an 8-game regular season, 16-team Division One playoff bracket, normal brackets for Division Two. Only the region champs and runner-ups make the playoffs instead of the top 4 teams from each region. I've got a personal opinion. I kind of think sometimes that maybe that's the way it ought to be anyway, but that's just Kevin's opinion. Third option is to have a 9-game regular season, but in order to do that, they would have to cut the playoff teams down to 8 for each division. Now, that's the way it used to be, way back when. Excuse me, I won't say how far back that goes. Schools would keep their current schedule starting with week 5 on September 18, then go, well, I won't go into all that. Of course, it's interviewed various folks on here, and there was a fourth option considered, without state championships is what the Tennessean is reporting. And various coaches, they've interviewed them, and everybody's got their own opinion of it. But there is a plan in place to finish the season with a shortened regular season, again, if that state of emergency is lifted. And who knows what's going to happen between now and August 29th.
Well, you know who shows upon us. You know, if we start, you know, acting reasonably, we know those numbers are going to come down some.
Right.
Like I said, it's we can't do what we want to right now. And, you know, that's a big change of, attitude, just a complete, total change of what we're used to as folks here in this country. We've always felt, you know, that we're kind of independent, but, you know, that independence has been really, really checked, hasn't it, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And, Thomas, to put some other sports in here again, looking at the Tennessean story, it says the regular season schedules for football and girls soccer are the only fall sports affected so far, and girls soccer games had also been set to begin on August 17th. Now, this is a quote from Bernard Childress, the director. Cross country, actually it says county. They left a letter out. I started to read it that way. Cross country golf and volleyball can continue to follow the regular TSSAA calendar, start their seasons just like they normally would. They do not fall in that designation of contact sports, I guess.
Well, they used to say basketball was a non-contact sport when I first started coaching.
They rethought that. Of course, and at some point we'll talk more about basketball because the further we get into this and the closer we get to that season starting, you know, we may have some news there as well.
You know, we've both probably heard rumors about that
The basketball season this year might start as late as the 1st of February or something. I mean, there's been all kinds of stuff. And, of course, if you just read the headline or something, I think a lot of the papers across the state had the headline the other morning that Governor Lee cancels football in Tennessee. And a lot of folks, that's when they read canceled, and that's where they basically quit reading.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, there is just no way to know where this is headed. Ultimately, as you mentioned, it's going to depend on what the numbers look like in terms of COVID-19. Probably by the middle of August, we'll have a really good idea. Let's face it. Now, I mean, it seems like a long way off, but here we are 6 months into the year and 2 days already, not that far away. But we'll know which direction things are trending by the middle of August. And I'm sure it's just going to depend on whether or not, you know, we're able to have fall sports and winter sports on schedule as to what those numbers look like sometime down in August.
Well, you know, and Kevin, we're sitting here now, and myself as a former coach, you as a parent, and, of course, lots of parents, and, you know, we look at this on just a very personal level, you know, how it's affecting our little team here in Salina. You know, we're expecting to have one of our better teams coming back and that type of thing.
Absolutely.
In all of our sports. But, you know, when we back off and look at it, high school sports in the state of Tennessee is a big, big business.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
It's a tremendous business.
There's no doubt about it.
If you ever get a chance, take a look at the financial report of the TLSAA and look at the amount of money that is generated for, well, like the cities of Cookeville and Murfreesboro that hold these championships.
Absolutely.
And spring flings and things.
Sports, I was thinking about that yesterday at some point. You know, I'm in economic development. That's what I live, eat, and breathe now. Sports is a huge economic driver, not just in Tennessee, but across the... Has there ever been a more sports-crazed society in the history of the world? Well, we know the answer to that, no. But it is a big thing. Not only is it a great pastime where folks can bond and go out and watch their favorite teams play, but it generates an incredible amount of revenue. We're talking all the way down to not just at the games. We're talking restaurants. We're talking hotel, motel. We're talking about gas money that's spent. It would be pretty devastating to all the schools, from junior high to high school to universities, for us not to be able to have sports this fall. So we just have to hope that it can happen safely.
Well, you know, Rhonda was talking, you know, just the little archery meet. Well, not a little, but the state archery meet they held here.
About how much it generated.
Right, how much it generated in the income here, extra income here for the city of Salina.
Absolutely.
You know, in $10,000 extra income on a weekend, it is not a little amount.
Well, anytime you've got folks driving through your town, that means money in somebody's pocket, in some merchant's pocket. And we do have a lot of through traffic here, and we sell a lot of, well, that'd be another thing for us to talk about, and I know we're getting close. We sell a tremendous amount of gas county per the number of folks that we have. I've seen those numbers, and it's amazing. There's a lot of folks pass through our county, and we're pretty mobile ourselves.
Kevin, guess what?
I'm afraid to.
We're about to run out of time.
Okay. Who won the cake?
Looked like Monica Hayes won the cake today.
Congrats.
Congratulations, Monica. And come over by the chamber and pick up your coupon and take it over to Dairy Queen and get that delicious ice cream cake. And with that, Kevin, I think they're about to shut us down.
Okay.
If we don't shut ourselves down. But hopefully we'll be back here again next week. And I'd like to thank you for covering for me last week when I was able to slip off for just a day or
we
so.
We slipped an incredible guest in there during that time. It was great to have Tyreek Key with us last week.
Great interview. And
absolutely.
It's amazing to see how far he's come from when he was a 7th and 8th grader, and as the kind of bashful young man he was. I mean, he's still got that kind of bashful spirit about him, but...
He's a great ambassador for Clay County.
Yes, he is. A tremendous ambassador. And, of course, we wish him well for his season coming up
absolutely.
This year. Hopefully he gets to have a good full season. But with that, I guess we'll have to shut the doors and... See you again next week here on the same channel, same time, here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. I guess we've got everything pretty much shut down. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here, same time, same channel. And with that, I guess we'll say good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.